me then. All right. My awesome wife, as vocal as she is, this morning on the way home, she could have... I'm not much into banana splits, but you know when you get a banana split, you get your choices of ice cream, bananas, whipped cream, and you... What? Cherry on top, right? She could have went like, put the cherry on the top of this meeting this morning, right? But she didn't. She did it on the way home. And it made me feel terrible. I said, man, I'm so dumb. Okay, y'all ready for this? Let me show it to you. You know when I was talking about Manesh, or Manasseh, which is Joseph's son? Well, he had two sons. And his second son is Ephraim. Is that correct? Ephraim. I get you. Do you know what Ephraim stands for? While I'm trying to hunt it down, I didn't mark. Let's see. Oh, and the name. God, this is Charlie, look at this. You ready? And the name of the second, called Ephraim or Ephraim, for God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. Would have just sealed the deal. She's riding in the back seat because Peyton always wants to ride in the front. She said, oh, you know there was another son. And the whole series was called Affliction. And I leave off the thing that says I was fruitful in my affliction. God, I'm like, I'm the dumbest preacher on the face of the planet. You got an amen on that one. You got, yeah. Let's go to Romans chapter 12. And I'm going to do everything in my power. We're going to start back in verse 9 in the second part of the verse. And I'm going to do everything in my power not to get to verse 14. God's really been knocking my heart's door down the last couple of days. He loves this church, and He loves what we're doing, and He loves what we're going to do, but we're going to have to start working on some areas individually where we're not strong. Amen? Individually. That means us. There was a speaker last night, and he gave us 3 points. He said, pray fervently, pray, right, intentionally. Read your Bible intentionally and worship intentionally, right? When he said what he said, I really sparked my interest on that, the reading the Bible part. See, I read the Bible constantly and pray over it, and I was like, got it! But the Lord said, yeah, but you're lacking in the other two areas. Why wouldn't you, instead of boasting about your strength, why don't you work on your weaknesses? And see, we're not good as that at Christians. We don't like to admit we got weak areas or underdeveloped areas. Let's call it that way. How about that? And we'll constantly go to our strengths, but we won't go to our weaknesses. And God said, our church could be unstoppable. It could be so strong if we as Christians, our Sunday night crowd and our Wednesday night crowd, would start to identify some areas where we're not strong at and ask God to help us get stronger in those areas and be intentional about it. I'm going to intentionally worship better. Amen? I've already made up my mind. I'm going to try. And I didn't do it very good tonight because I've got the excuse that I'm sick, but I think what trumps being sick is Jesus hanging on the cross. And if I can't worship because I don't feel good, that's not an excuse. But I'm not comfortable worshiping. That's the singing part of it. No, I should worship Him. Amen? And we can all pray better. I don't, if you, anybody in here, I'm the best prayer. Great. I have found in my short time doing ministry, prayer is the most interrupted thing you'll ever do. Go ahead and write it down. Make you a day. I'll pray at this time every day. The world will come crashing down at that time. But you need to be intentional in it. I'm going to be intentional in my prayer, and I'm going to be intentional in my worship. Because I can read the Bible. God don't have to tell me to do that. But he did have to tell me the other two. Amen? Y'all ready? Are y'all excited? Yeah, that kind of stuff gets at you, don't it? I had a stepdad. To the basket left-handed. Sorry. Y'all ready? Golly, I can't help myself. Abhor that which is evil. Let's read the whole verse. Romans 12:9. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. That sounds simple, don't it? You know what we like to do? We like to point out somebody else's evil or something that it's in the world that's evil. But we don't like to hate our evil. Amen? We don't like to pinpoint the thing that we do that's evil. I'm against gay marriage. I'm against transgender bathrooms. I'm against the political this. I'm against the world going this way. But are you against the thing that you do that's wrong? Are you against your lying? Are you against your storytelling? Are you against your backbiting? Are you against your murmuring? Are you against your cheating? Oh, sorry, preacher. But hey, that's what God, these are characteristics of Christ. We can't hate the world's sin unless we despise our own sin. And that abhor word is not a pretty word. That means you got to hate it with an intensity. And you got to eradicate it with an intensity. Nobody preaches this anymore. I've not heard it. But you've got to take some radical steps to get sin out of your life. You've got to burn some things. I know it ain't cool. And the EPA might get you. I don't know. We don't burn stuff no more. We don't clean the whole house out. We don't go look and take an inventory anymore. We don't look into our own lives, but we've got little areas that we don't let God in, and we don't talk about that stuff. We don't hate it enough. Remember when we first got saved and we cleaned house? We need to go back and clean house. We need to go back in and find some areas that the devil snuck back in. And I know I'm preaching to somebody, because the devil, he has a way of bringing back some things into your life that you used to hate. But he repackages them and resells them to you. And when they show up, you're like, man, that's nostalgic. That brings me back in the good old days. Yeah, it does. But you forgot the good old days weren't good old days. Woo. We could have altar service right now. It'd be good, wouldn't it? Cleave to that which is good. Find the good stuff and hang on to it. Somebody asked me, what do you want me to do? Pray, read, worship, go to church, get around people that are like-minded to you, and you can't do enough of that. It says iron sharpens iron. Man, get around some people who challenge you. Get around some people who are doing some stuff that you want to do. Don't hang around the people that are doing stuff that you feel like you're better than them. Because it's easier to pull somebody down than it is to pull them up. Amen. If I stood up on that pulpit right there, or if I stood up on that altar, and I tried to pull somebody up, and they tried to pull me down, more than likely they're going to pull me down. I don't have the leverage. Amen? Get around some people that challenge you to be better. Make some goals for yourself. I want to cling to that stuff. It's good. I'm going to read. This is what I'm going to do with my day. Sometimes we start out the day wrong. Cleave to that which is good. Amen? This is simple stuff. You don't need a theology major to do that. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, honoring and preferring one another. My goodness. The church needs more of this. We're so after our own recognition, especially preachers and ministers. It's like we want to be recognized instead of preferring other people. I have come to understand some of the greatest thing that you'll ever do as a minister or a church member is to raise somebody else up. There's nothing else better than seeing somebody else preach that wasn't preaching. Somebody else teach that wasn't teaching. Somebody else sing that wasn't singing. See, a lost person who just a few months before, was counted out. And you witnessed to him, gave him an opportunity. That's amazing stuff. Preferring that somebody else gets promoted. And Chris, sometimes we'll sit there and worry, why do they get to do this? Why do they get to do that? Praise God, you should be glad that there's somebody in that wants to do something for the glory of God. We should give everybody the opportunity that we have. As I'm getting older, I hate to make sports references, but as you get older, and if you're honest with yourself, you're not as good as you once was. It's good to see a young guy get better and do something, and you help them along, and they get better, and they do something. You tell them, if you cut this way, do that, and they do it. And you're like, hey, it worked, right? So, and that goes away in ministry. We should be kind to one another. Most churches would break out in revival if people in the sanctuary would forgive and love one another just like Christ. Start harboring stuff. Stop holding on to stuff that really don't matter in the big scheme of things. They're just keeping you in a prison. A prison of you can't get out of, and a prison you can't do anything in. Was that easier said than done? It is. I've got a couple of grinders. Amen? I've got a couple of grinders. People in they rent space in my head for free. Oh, God. Can you preach that here? Some people that get that space up there for free, at least you should charge them something. Amen? Hey, you know what the best way to evict them is? The best way to get them out? Let them go. Let it go. I forgive them. What's going to matter to me anyway? Right? Oh, that's harder said. We'll work on it, right? Are we going to work on that? Yeah, we say we will, but will we? Amen? Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Golly, we need some fire. Amen? We need to be about God's business. We need to be on fire about it. If somebody seen your passion for God, they'd be interested. Amen? Where are you going, church? Why? Because it's on fire. I can't wait to get there. I can't wait to see what's going to happen. I don't care. I don't know what's happening in our church. I mean, it's amazing. That's what I tell everybody all the time. I ask them, what's going on? I said, I feel like we've been in a revival for 2 years. Well, that's crazy. Come see. Come see. Come check it out. I dare you to come up there. You won't be able to help it. Oh, well, I just will. Then you tell me, be smart about it. So look at them and say, hey, you probably couldn't handle it. You better stay where you at. Then they really show up. Amen? Then they really show up. I'm going to go because you said I couldn't go. Have some fervency about God's business. Can I go ahead and just take a step further in that? As Christians, we should not be lazy in anything we do. We shouldn't be lazy in anything we do. You shouldn't rob people at work. You shouldn't. I'm feeling the great conviction at home. Amen. Take an effort to help when you can. Thank you, Lord. I'll take it. That hurt. I'm always waiting for Melissa to do it, right? That over there. Look at that. He's been sitting there. And God said, yeah, no, you sat it there. Woo! Stop it, Lord. I hate to be transparent with you. I hate to be real with you. But I'm telling you, sometimes it's good if you'll just take the effort and help out and not be lazy in every area of your Christian walk. Lord, this hurts, man. And I ain't even trying to get to the place we're trying to get to. Verse 12, rejoicing in hope. Sometimes that's all you got is hope. Amen? It says rejoicing in hope because sometimes you're just hoping for a better day. You're just hoping for a better situation. You're just thinking, hey, God's going to show up any minute now and make all this better because it's a mess. Kids on drugs. Financial situation's bad. Can't find any work. Don't seem like anything's coming together. Our relationship's in a grind. Anybody else been there? My relationship's in a grind. You ever get in a relationship with your wife? Sometimes you just find a month or two where you're just in a grind. You just can't get along. It seems like you're just two ships passing in the night. And every time you do talk, it's short, aggravated. Man, because of all the stuff. Bills, finances, just tired, just angry, just, hey, it's just winter, it's just dark outside. Have you ever just been mad to be mad? Y'all need to start being honest with me. I'll be honest with you. Some days I woke up and said, what's wrong with you? I don't know. I'm just mad. Don't say the wrong thing. I'll be mad. Amen? That's true, though, right? Sometimes you just got to say, God, I'm hoping for a better life. I'm hoping you're going to come through. Amen? When you do that, you rejoice. You have patience in tribulation. You're waiting on God. Waiting on Him. God, come on. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to give in. I'm not going to quit. How many of you have had to have patience with Christ in this last year? So I'm not going to give up. Well, guess what? In 2018, there's going to be times when you're going to feel like giving up. Somebody's going to say something. Somebody's going to do something. And you're going to have to remind yourself, you know what? They didn't save me. They're not the ones who validate me. My hope and my rejoicing, my faith, it's in Jesus Christ. And I'm going to trust that it's going to be for the better. I know this sounds like I'm trying to pump you up speech. Guess what? I am. That's what the Scriptures do. That's what Jesus was doing. He had to go to the cross, but without the cross, there is no resurrection. Without no cross, there is no second coming. Without no cross, there's no salvation. But the cross is a dark place. When He's dying on the cross, He had to have some hope and some patience for us. So when we're going through our dark time, we just know, hey, this is going to work. It's going to work out better. It's a dark time. You ever read stuff like this and hope you're not preaching to yourself? And some of y'all are sitting there going, I hope he's preaching to himself and not us. Continuing instant in prayer. Why do you think that's there? Hope and patience. Why do you think? Listen, I want you to put your thinking cap on. I hate when teachers you say that. Can't put your thinking cap on. I'm like, I don't have one. Sorry. If you're in a place where all you got is hope, and you're getting tried, and all you got is patience, you need to be in constant communication with God. Because, listen, hear me. Because everything else is going to sound like this is the end. No. Everybody else who's going to come around, even some people that you love in the church, are going to say some things that's crazy. You need to just give up on that. You need to just quit. God ain't told you to quit. You just need to get it to the Lord. You just need to give. Why don't you just go out with us one night and just have a good old time like we used to? Right? Am I anywhere close? If you're not careful, and you're not talking to God constantly, you'll get some mixed signals. But when you're talking to God, that'll reinforce the hope and the patience that you're trying to get to, because you'll be talking to the one who's in charge. The devil will try to do everything he can to keep you from praying. You'll talk to your sister or sister in faith. You'll talk to your brother in faith. That ain't likely. That ain't likely. Now you sit, you women folk in here, yeah, you're going to talk. But us men, we're like ironclad. We ain't going to tell nobody. Right? We'll just keep on stuffing it in and pressing it down, stuffing it in and pressing it down until we either explode or we go into depression. Oh, preacher, don't preach real in here. I'd hate for you to get that. Then you do something crazy. Amen? Because you didn't tell nobody. Well, guess what God's saying? Tell me. Dump it out on me. Pour it out on me. Tell me everything. Tell me where you hurt. Tell me where the pain is. Tell me where you're worried. Is there any men in here ever worried like a man worries? Amen. Where's the finances going? How are we going to pay the bill? What's going on with my kids? I don't know what I'm doing. You're really worried. What do you know? Where do you go? you better be going to God with it. Now, if you're all right and you got somebody you can confide in, great. But most time, men, we don't. You know, I'm good, you know. Right? I'm think I'm real right there. Sometimes you just got to dump it out before God, because we'll try to act super cool and like we got everything in control, men, when we don't. When we absolutely don't. Sometimes we need to crawl up in the lap of God and say, hey, I'm just like a little kid. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm hurt. To some men tonight. Because sometimes as men, if we tell somebody how we feel, they bring it up about 3 or 4 months later. I'm going to help you wives right here. You all right with me preaching this way? Maybe somebody else will report you. What you do is bring that back up and say, man, I'm hurt, I'm scared, I'm really worried. If you bring that back up, then I guess what you do. You forget about him telling you anything else again.
Woo! We just messed around and got into some real stuff. Amen? If he told you, that means he needs you to listen, hear, pray, and help. God gave you a helpmate. Amen? A helpmate. That's somebody that comes alongside and helps you.
Usually your wife is helping you, not your husband.
Ain't that good? I'm sorry, but that just got real. Golly. Verse 13. Distributing to the necessity of the saints, giving to hospitality. We're supposed to be cheerful givers. Amen? We're supposed to give out. We're supposed to be the givingest people on the planet. We've let the government supplant us as the givers. We have. And it's sad. You know that everybody on welfare, everybody that used to go to, that were really hungry or starving, used to go to church. They didn't go to food stamps, they went to church. The church started turning inwards instead of outwards. Started taking care of ourselves instead of taking care of everybody else. And it's sad. We can be upset about it. We can talk about how bad it is. But we can reverse the trend. We could be a known as a church. Amen. You say, well, man, that'll cost us so much. Food, clothing, shelter. If you really need it, the people that really need it, they ain't trying to scam you, they ain't trying to hurt you, they ain't trying to do you wrong. They're just trying to eat. And you'll recognize them. They're very clear. They'll take what you give them. And usually they'll never be the ones who ask for it. It'll be a second party or a third party that does. Man, preacher, that's good preaching. God, I'm hesitant not to preach 14 because I don't want to preach it. We got time, or y'all want to shut her down? We'll get it. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. That stinks. I'm just being real with you. Bless them which persecute you. Really? I got a weak area right there. I'm a protector. A fighter, you know what I mean? I don't want to fight nobody physically, but if you challenge me, ridicule me, right? Persecute. Y'all don't like what y'all are doing. This is stupid. You're stupid. That's stupid. This ain't good. That ain't good. We ain't doing this. Whew. Huh? What? Yeah. Bless them which persecute you and curse not. Curse what? Curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceit. Recompense no man evil for evil. Provide the things honest in the sight of all men. God, I've got a lot of work to do. You mean if somebody does something evil to me, I don't get to retaliate? I have to leave that to the Lord. I'm not good at that. I know you are, but I'm not. I'm going to ask God to help me in 2018 to not take
the evil into my hand and recompense somebody. Because somebody might get saved if they see you not react to somebody doing evil to you. Because it's one of the greatest tales of being a Christian. If I'm not mistaken, it's probably what the man on the cross seen. He'd watched him all day. Somebody's going to watch you all day. And they're going to know who treats you right and who treats you wrong. He watched Jesus all day. He was in the same place, in the same position, in the same trouble Jesus was in, but he watched him all day. What if somebody watched you all day? Listen to him, watched you, how you reacted. The people who were crucified. He knew what the other one was saying, and he knew what he was saying in his heart and his mind. But he heard one say out loud, "Give it." What? What kind of crazy is that? See, when they first took off that day, when they all took their beams, when they took off, all took their crosses, they all reviled on them. That means they all said, "You're an idiot." The person that might get saved around you might be the person that reviles on you guys. I hate that one. The one who gives you the hardest time. No, come on. Are y'all all right? The one you would like to pour out the evil on the most. Oh, Lord, you better watch me. If I get around that guy, I might have to. If I get around that girl, I'm gonna give him a piece of my mind. Instead of giving him a piece of your mind, why don't you give him a piece of God's mind? Well, better yet, why don't you just be quiet? Walk by, pray for him. Say, "God, forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing. God, let them see. Let them see Christ." Amen. God, I hope. Yeah, let me go ahead and finish this 12. We might go back another day and get some more, but I want you to hear this. Verse 19, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give peace unto wrath. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord.'" Who does that belong to? Huh? Who's the vengeance belong to? Man. Don't that stink? Can I help him? Can I be a sidekick? Ever superhero's got a sidekick. Can I be one of the guys that helps out, Lord? Man, I hate this, man. Like medicine. "Therefore, if thine enemy hunger..." No, listen, man. Did you hear what I just did a second ago? Y'all ain't... and rejected me. Ha ha. Man, that's the way I want to be. Sometimes I wish you had a better pastor. I wish you had a better preacher. I wish I was perfect. But I find myself here. Amen. I find myself here. Listen to this. "Therefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." How do you do this? He said, would anybody in here just pledge in your heart and your mind, say, "I'm going to try to do this one time, see how it works out. I'm going to. I made up my mind, I'm going to try this." You're supposed to make them the best sandwich you could ever make for yourself. I know sandwich. I'm sandwich. Lasagna, spaghetti. I think we got some work to do.